Recording. All right. It is now 7:03. We will call to order this meeting of the Village of River Forest Sustainability Commission. Co-Chair Charette.
Present.
Co-Chair Lennon.
Here.
Commissioner Veazey. Commissioner Haley.
Here.
Commissioner Mezzatesta.
Here.
Commissioner Cadleck.
Here.
Commissioner Avalos.
Here.
Student Commissioner Steerwalt.
Here.
All members are present. All right. First order of business is public comment. I did have one individual reach out to me yesterday. I did let him know the meeting was at 7 o'clock today, but there does not appear to be anyone. I'm just going to check the waiting. Nope. Nobody wanting to join online either. So, yeah. All right. We will move to next item of business, adoption of the meeting minutes. Did anybody find any corrections, typos?
Yeah, I found a typo, but I got to go back and figure out where it was. There was one sentence that hit.
Yep, it was something that you brought up, right?
Yes, that's right. Well, maybe you can find it.
I'm just purposely trying to distort your words.
I'm just trying to see if I'm paying attention.
Oh, I see it right now. And other business continues to when targets next card monitor or something like that.
Yes. Yeah. There's either an extra phrase or a missing phrase. I'm not sure which. That was my only item.
Right. With that, do we have a motion to adopt the meeting minutes as amended?
Motion to adopt meeting minutes as amended. Ooh, that's hard to say.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Right. Co-Chair Charette?
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Veazey?
Yes.
Commissioner Haley?
Yes.
Commissioner Mezzatesta?
Yes.
Commissioner Cadleck?
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos?
Yes.
All right, minutes are adopted. Moving on to next item. Commissioner updates. Just open it up to any and all of you. All right. With that, we'll move on. We are flying right through here. So the next item I had was the sustainability. I've just been calling it community member recognition discussion. But so I emailed and then I've printed out everything that Ben has drafted up and just open it up for discussion. If you need me to share it on the screen as well, I can.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, so kind of my idea for the recognition kind of portion of our discussion was to have like a short form like this that we could share through the newsletter. So I have the draft printed out here. And it basically, you could nominate someone from the village that you know. You kind of give your information, their information, and then share a little bit about their story. And then hopefully we can get the nominee's information to potentially get more of their story. And then if something's really compelling, we could reach out to them to perhaps do a special newsletter section, just kind of sharing their story. And so people can get to know what others in the community are doing for sustainability and perhaps learn something new from their neighbor. So please let me know if you have any feedback about the form or how it's formatted or anything like that.
Just a correction.
Have the address on it.
Yeah, we could certainly add that.
That way you know that they're,
Yeah.
Street know it.
Just a typo that I'm famous for.
You got me.
At the bottom of tier two, it says clothes, and I think you mean cloths.
Oh,
if you take the out, I think you'll be in business.
I think I was meaning clothes for there, which could be. I was trying to include a list of like hard to recycle items. Perhaps clothes wouldn't be one of the right ones to fit if I'm just listing a few.
But don't you mean reusable cloths?
I mean, it could refer to clothes. I was referring specifically to like clothes, like recycling clothes.
Yeah. Instead of paper towels.
No, this is at the bottom where it says reusable water bottle. It says reusable clothes instead of paper towels. I think you meant clothes.
Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong thing. Yeah, that is correct. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. I No, you're correct. Sorry, I was looking at the wrong thing up here where I said clothes. Okay.
Sorry, I'm on the wrong page anyway.
So. That is correct. That should be cloths. So thank you.
Now I'll get to the right form. Sorry.
No.
It also, this just came up in my head. I don't know if it would make a difference, so open to thoughts. But having how long they've been a resident, would that be something we should add? I don't know.
Yeah, I could say like in kind of the prompt where it offers to share more about the nominee, that could be like a follow-up question, like how long has this person been in the community? What are some of the things they're doing for sustainability? And that could be part of the prompt, yeah.
But are you saying for the person that's being nominated or the person that's filling it out?
I was referring to the person being nominated because I feel like if they just moved here and somehow got to tier 3 or gold, or what's the highest one?
Gold.
Then I feel like that person might, we might weigh them more than the others. Because...
Are we mixing things up here?
So, yeah. So I should.
No,
you're all good. I should have clarified. So these are kind of like separate entities in my eyes. So the village recognition SurveyMonkey form can be something we share out, and then whatever responses we get, if there's something compelling, we can follow up with the nominees and then share further stories through the newsletter. The other thing here about the sustainability awards is kind of a scorecard that I made that we could potentially share out. And I kind of thought of it as a way for people to just kind of self-assess where they're at in terms of sustainability efforts. So the way it's kind of organized is into three tiers where increasing points through the tiers. And it's kind of organized in my eyes, like kind of ease of doing things. So just because something's tier 3 or 3 points doesn't mean it's like the most impactful towards sustainability. It more so might be like something that's harder to implement. Whereas tier 1 is things that I would say are generally pretty easy for most people to do, and it wouldn't, you know, shift their lifestyle very much. But I formulated this so that people could, you know, either look at this scorecard and kind of mark it themselves, or I was hoping there might be some way to adapt this to be online to where people can click through and then they select which ones they do, and then it'll spit out a final score for them at the end and tell them kind of if they're bronze, silver, gold level. And then the other thing I want to include is resource links for each one of these items, so that if people say, oh, like, I'm not doing that currently, but I might be interested, or I've never heard of that at all, then they could click on that link and learn more about that sustainability action thing. And then that could be another way to kind of increase your score if people are looking at it that way as well. So kind of how I have it organized right now, it's pretty hard to get like the gold tier and everything. I wanted it to be designed to where people take the you know, look at the scorecard and see what they are doing, and then immediately are looking at what else I can do and kind of looking into some of these other things that they aren't currently doing. So it's kind of a way to assess some of the things that you are doing for sustainability, but really just to learn more about some of these other things that you could be doing.
I got a dumb question. There's such a thing as an electric heat pump dryer, a clothes dryer? Wow.
I thought so, but I guess I had seen that on the website, that was something that through the sustainable living, because I was kind of trying to adapt it towards like what we have on our website.
I know we've got the heat pump.
Yeah.
And I know electric dryers was part of the community survey. I'll need to check if I'm
checking right now. They exist and they're very pricey.
Okay.
Yeah.
So perhaps we could change that one. I had a little bit.
I wouldn't. Yeah. Seems so far out there. I don't think.
For sure. And like, I think for tier 3, a lot of them are pretty like hard to implement. Like, if you're not going to get an EV, you're not going to get an EV, or like a lot of the appliance upgrades to your home might not be feasible. So if anyone has other suggestions for things that could go into tier 3, really any of the tiers, but I think especially tier 3, we could have maybe some more other things that, that people could do.
Well, but tier three and worth more points, I think it's perfectly okay to have things there that are going to be beyond, you know, it's like the bell curve. A few people get an A and a lot of people get a B and more people get a C.
Yeah, it's kind of like a shoot for the stars. Yeah.
I don't think this is a case of trying to make everybody, I mean, they can feel good about what they're doing, but I don't think you're trying to give everybody a blue ribbon. You know?
No, yeah, I tried to make it so it's going to be pretty hard to get the gold like rating.
Yeah.
But I
you did a great job.
Thanks. Yeah, I think it was just a good way for people to kind of look at some of the current things they're doing. Hopefully they see some stuff that they've never heard of before. And then also they can easily click the resource links that I'll add to then see if this is something that they can actually fit into their life. And then I think it does, I guess, really in some ways to the sustainability recognition form, because hopefully we do get some nominees that we can highlight in the newsletter, and hopefully they're doing some of these things and then people can learn about it that way as well.
I was just looking at the Oak Park's Green Award nomination form. And one thing I noticed was you're focused on persons and they expand it to group and businesses. And I wonder what you and other people thought about that, just to open it up a little bit.
Yeah, I'd be happy to expand it to businesses or groups. I thought it might be nice just to start with like highlighting homeowners or individuals who are doing something really cool to share a quick story. But definitely I think it's feasible. And if there are businesses or groups that would be a good fit for this, then I would want that to be included.
But I think the things would have to be different because
most
businesses don't own their own building and don't have control over appliances, for example.
But again, these are two different things.
Oh, yeah.
These are separate. These are separate.
Yeah. And
all right. So you're talking about this.
Yeah.
For the businesses. Okay.
Yeah. I find with that tricky, I guess, like how many businesses would they have to, would like someone from, someone would have to obviously live in River Forest, but could they work remotely or does the founder need to live here? Like, just, I feel like if we go that route, there needs to be a little more thought.
I would imagine it would be a business based in River Forest, even if the owner wasn't based in River Forest, if there was some sort of locally based business physically located in the community and serving the community.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm thinking my opinion too could be that it might just be easier to have a very similar form, but just for groups and organizations and businesses, and then specifically highlight those separately.
Jumping back to this, Not this. I really, really, really like the idea if we can, you know, put this on the web and then this could be a source of a resource where, oh, public transportation, what public transportation is available in my area? I really, really think this is very valuable. I'm always getting questions about just, you know, random questions regarding sustainability. And this would be a really great asset to have and to share, a resource to have to share with the community.
And I think the fact that it's, you know, you can rate yourself, but if it's also the resources, I mean, I think it's a great format to use, even if we weren't doing anything with it except using it as resources, because it kind of helps you prioritize things too, maybe.
Yeah.
I think you're right, Jamie. I think that's a great idea.
And back to what you're saying, Jamie, about the like transportation. So I wanted to mention like those two, using public transportation and then traveling or walking by bike. I have those listed in tier one and in tier two. I think my hope would be that you maybe, if we're able to add like different things so that there's no repeats of things, so that people can collect, they're eligible for each box. Cause obviously if you say, well, I use public transportation frequently, then you couldn't also get a point for like, I use transportation occasionally, which I mean, I guess you could, but I was honestly kind of running out of like things that weren't super niche to like put on here. So again, yeah, if anyone has any ideas about like what could go into these tiers.
The other thing is whatever, I'll call it programming, is behind this to add things up. I'm not sure if you would do this in the survey software or whatever, but it might be possible to make those mutually exclusive. So if you click one, you can't click the other.
Yeah.
I don't know. That may be too fancy, but.
No, that would be a great solution as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, you either use it infrequently or you use it frequently, but somebody's trying to jazz up their points. You don't want them to check both of them or check both of them by accident either.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
That's a good point.
You probably a few thoughts, and I think those are great. But you could plug some of our, like, the programs we've been supporting, like the, well, I don't know if we've supported it, but the Dark Sky Initiative, the taking the like the renewable energy credits on the, forget the name of the different, you put both programs on there that are
the community aggregation program and the community solar program.
Oh yeah. Community solar program. That's a great idea.
That would be a really good one. I don't know
which tier you want it on, but
aggregation would probably be tier one. Community solar would be tier two. Aggregation, most residents are just enrolled in it unless they opt out. Community solar, I will have an update later, but that's something we really want to push to get more people to opt in.
Yeah.
Just as a thought, man, great start. No, and I liked your thought process, but you know, we tend to talk about things in certain buckets, right? So, you know, we talk about recycling, we talk about, you know, electrification and so on and so forth. Would it make sense to have those kinds of buckets? And then within the buckets, then you just, here are some of the things. And I wouldn't worry about points. I mean, I got to tell you, avoiding fast fashion clothing is easy for me.
That's good. Yeah.
So I wouldn't try and even make those demarcations. Other than, you know, it, where you can show up a natural progression. All right. So to me, a more natural progression, I mean, driving an electric vehicle is not, and it ought to be in order of sustainability and what you're trying to accomplish, right? Just reducing the carbon footprint and all that. Using public transportation is a higher order than buying an EV, right? So I would lay those things out, and maybe even if it's just a matter of within any category, how many of these things can you tick?
Mm.
All right. So where you want to drive activity, you know, it's like when you get the if you got 10 out of the 15, then you're gold. If you get 2 out of them, you're whatever. So it, see what I'm saying? Versus trying to.
But don't you think some of them are, you have to be more committed to do, I guess, if or maybe it's just a matter of money. I don't know.
If you have a lot of money, you're not necessarily that committed.
Right? That's true.
Like I say, to me, using public transportation is a lot more committed than just going out and spending money on the EV. Right?
It's harder to do. It's more inconvenient. Yeah. No, I would agree with that 100%.
So
yeah.
I wouldn't worry about trying to define those things. I would just, you know, which one's more, which one's less. You always, you know, all kinds of debates on that kind of junk. So it just becomes, how many of these things can you do? And if there's a way of laying it out where you can show that that progression to an ideal state, then, you know, try and lay that in. But what we're trying to do, I think, is to drive people to do as much as they can, right? And the simplest things are often the best.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So avoid fast, you know, the easiest way to reduce recycling is just don't buy stuff. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that.
It's easy, but it's really hard for people of a certain mentality, which is probably the majority of people in this village. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what
exactly.
You're changing.
Oh, no, I agree.
Right. So that's kind of my point. So, you know, reuse or, you know, avoiding unnecessary purchases. I mean, I wouldn't put that in there. I mean, see what I'm saying? So I wouldn't worry about this tier thing so much as just getting some of the key elements in there. And if you want to kind of list them there in order of cost to do it, financial cost, so bottom to top, whatever. But if I can tick 10 and not hit the bottom 3, I get a gold. Mm-hmm. If I hit the top, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
That's just how I look at it. And keeping it in a structure of what we talk about and how we work here, because that way everything's it's consistent, it's tied together. That's that's maybe my thinking. But I like your thoughts, a lot of good thoughts in it. Thanks for starting it.
Thanks. Yeah, I think I do want to like organize it. That would be a good idea to organize it by kind of like category of sustainability, I guess. So like, here's all the things related to energy use, or here's all the things related to reducing your waste, zero waste, or kind of recycling and composting could be kind of related in a category. So then I think also people could see like, hey, I'm doing a lot for reducing my waste at home, but I'm really not doing a lot for reducing my energy or something like that. And then they could work towards that.
One that isn't on our list, but we at one time partitioned it up. I don't remember if we called it outreach or whatever, but you want to call it activism or whatever. And that's some of these other things like, you know, nights. You agree? Night sky and whatever, you know, what'd you participate in? Did you participate in these types of events, right? So, and they don't have to be the exact events or, you know, but did you, these types of things, right? How many did you do these kinds of things? You list some examples of them, because that's also important too. Mm-hmm. You know, like the more people that show up, participate in their library, that's all positive stuff. And that, cause that starts to drive the mentality and the culture stuff too. Mm-hmm. So that should be a bucket in there, which isn't one of our natural buckets of things we tend to talk about. We call it something else, but the same kind of thing.
Go ahead.
I just think if to activism mate and like going to events in that bucket, that might not overwhelm people, but I kind of feel like the more pricey stuff, like here's all you can do with energy, these 20 things, and then someone's going to go on the web and be, or maybe that's just me because I would take it seriously, but someone might be stressing that they need to do it all, so maybe just making it clear you don't need to do all might be good.
Yeah. I think it looks great. If you need any help with this, totally reach out. I'd be happy to help with this. I think this is a great start. I think I can see the vision with this.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Now, let me ask a dumb question. Are we meaning for this to simply be a self-evaluation? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Then I think all the comments that are being made really would make it a better self-evaluation tool that way.
Will it be available on the web? It can, like, providing links, is that something we can?
Yeah, so the capabilities of our website itself are limited, but you know, we have a SurveyMonkey account, it can just be like a sort of permanently open one for people to utilize. There will be sort of a collector for it, and I guess I can just sort of turn that off, but that sort of,
or look at it. I mean, it could be data for us.
Yes,
to look
that's
at.
True. But that, in terms of the functionality of how we want this to work, I think that's at least the easiest way I know of. And I don't know if there's any sort of way to sort of embed it or anything like that, or if it just got to be an external link from our website to the survey.
I'm pretty sure you can put links in there. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I know we can put links. I'm just sort of like picturing like where the survey itself is sort of embedded within our website. I don't think that's something I have the capabilities to do.
No, but you'd put a link to it.
Yes.
And then that would have links to the various resources.
I believe that is possible. Yes.
Yeah. As long as the links are a total external link that you can access without being within the village site, you can put them in the survey.
Yep.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yep.
The survey tool is a container. Yep. So if you're going to access something outside of it, you got to put the full URL but you could do that.
Yeah. I've used a lot of the resources and information we can link back to the sustainability guide on the website. And that if you're looking to fill in some spaces, there may be something in there that we haven't mentioned. Then I'll check sort of the lists of stuff I've made with the climate plan stuff as well and send that over to you.
Okay, good.
I would add purchasing or shopping at thrift stores with the avoiding fast fashion.
Hmm.
I think what we could definitely do with this, I think, I mean, we definitely, as you can see, we have some edits to make to this, but I think once we do this, I think we can put just like, because for the survey, I like the idea of doing a survey to get people's thoughts on this, but I think if we just upload an image of this, let them self-evaluate, and then do a survey afterwards, it's like, what are you, gold, silver, bronze? It's the least amount of steps for them, like rather than checking all the boxes. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. I think like I would want something like this sheet to be available on the website for people to just look at. Obviously make it a little bit like nicer and prettier. But then people can kind of, and that's where we can embed all of the links. You know, each one of these items can then be clickable to take you to resources that will explain what these things are and how you can actually do them. I think it would also be nice if we are able to have like a SurveyMonkey attached to this, where people go through and click like, yes, I do that, or no, I don't currently do that. And then at the end, it'll kind of give them a score, and then it can list maybe even suggested like things related to some of the categories they didn't really hit on. But again, I don't know if that would be possible through SurveyMonkey. I was just working through the free version.
It can do automatic. It can do the arithmetic. Okay. Yeah.
Cause
yeah.
I didn't know if it'd be able to like generate a number, like score at the end, or even if we don't.
No. SurveyMonkey can do that. Absolutely. Okay.
Or if it could add like, it could spit out suggestions based on your answers. So yeah, it'll be something I can look more into. Yeah.
You can do some really fancy stuff.
I'm sure. Yeah. Excited to see.
I'm a little rusty myself, but then I'm not the one doing it.
Can you, after the survey is complete and your score kicks out like 60 points, could you have like a big certificate and print out, and they can put it in their window or something like that? And it's like,
well, you can
show your neighbors.
You can have something appear at the end of the survey.
It's like, thank you.
That says, thank you for filling it out. Okay. And I think what you kick out could be conditional on something. And they could just screen print the.
Or you could always come by Village Hall and pick up your certificate, right?
Yeah. No, I like that idea, Jamie. So like, at the end you can get a little PDF document or something that just has your tier, like if you're bronze, silver, gold, it has your name on it maybe. And then people can print it out if they want it. Nice.
And this is another one that, you know, we can, you know, just collect how many people have done it by street. And publish that stuff and use results to help us and help, you know, communicate to the community how many people are doing these kinds of things. So
we can use the data to
this is very good.
Maybe shame some neighbors in. I think it's a good education tool because you're not lecturing somebody and they're sitting there, you know. Yeah, I mean, they're participating and it's sort of fun.
I guess I'd have a question for our student participant. Do we need to look at something maybe a little bit different that the high school kids would want to take?
You mean like survey-wise? Like a survey that they might...
Similar kind of thing that they could...
I think high school kids are just lazy. Just make it the easiest for them to do.
No, but I mean, types of questions and things. That...
Questions-wise, I think these are great. Okay. I think like all this right. is definitely, I think transportation would be a great thing we can gear towards them. Because, I mean, everyone has to get to school. Everyone has to get to work. So that's something I definitely think we can emphasize.
Well, yeah, and to ask them what their parents are doing at the house doesn't make sense, you know. But yeah.
Yeah.
But things like transportation, absolutely.
And then reusing, I know there's a lot of fashion, right? Fast fashion's a big thing. Thrifting, I've definitely seen gain some popularity. So stuff like that too. I think if we gear fashion and transportation, I think would be two things we definitely want to emphasize.
But part of what my thought, and tell me if I'm nuts, AJ, is for them to get a gold, they're not going to go out and buy an EV, right?
Yeah.
But it would be a little bit different standard. So if it became like you're a student or a homeowner kind of thing, right?
Yeah, there could be a separate scorecard we could develop where obviously, you're not going to participate and leave the leaves if you're like a student and you're not maybe in charge of that. Or a lot of these different things, again, like you said, are not going to be applicable.
Well, could we find a way to host it at the high school or through some of the high school's I don't know if they have a website or, you know, don't put it on Village Hall, but somehow make it available through the high school. Could we talk to somebody there maybe? The
high school has a website with like 1,000 links on it. I'm sure you could like.
Do people look at it?
Yeah, I've used the website a lot.
Getting back to your point about lazy, I'm just.
I put it in their space, I guess, is what I'm saying.
People look at the daily bulletin because I remember when I went there, I would be the only one, but basically it's this email of clubs and everything going on that day. It might have been week. No, it was the day. It might be good to put in there, too.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we could get a little blurb in the... They still have the trapeze, right?
Yeah. Trapeze.
In there to tell people, hey, guess what? There's this cool thing out there. Yeah. Go rate yourself.
And I think library, too. I think the library would be great. Both the Oak Park and River Forest Library. I think we could...
Good point.
Stuff there
good point.
So I'm not suggesting you just... this all at once, but maybe like a phase one, phase two, because, you know, roping in the youth is very, very important. Right.
Well, and also the high school is like 4/5 Oak Park. So if we're targeting River Forest,
I think we could, I mean, we could totally target Oak Park too. Like this doesn't have to be just River Forest. I think if we tie them in too, it's great.
Sure. Good. Mm-hmm.
And if we can even go like, you know, future after high school kids, maybe we can target the elementary schools too in River Forest. This is something right up their alley, you know, just different competitions, you know, like the penny wars that they have. You can have a green war or something, and mm-hmm. and you know, who has the most points for riding your bike to school and so on and so forth, tied into the green week.
Yeah,
bring out that competitive streak.
The school definitely
for good.
At Roosevelt, they do the clothes drive. I don't know if you've heard about, but like they love doing the green competitions and stuff. I'm sure they'd be into doing something like that.
And AJ, perhaps you'd mention my talk on Sunday if any of the youth would like to attend.
Is there a registration for that, or is it just come? Because I'm curious. Okay, cool. Maybe for next time. It might be good to gauge how many people. But, yeah, I'm hoping it's a good turnout. I'm going.
Yeah. Two. Yeah, I'm not so sure because I was hoping maybe it would get in the Wednesday Journal, but I tried filling out a form there for their calendar, and it's just ridiculous. You can't.
Oh, we should. Well, I don't know if we're allowed to. We could reach out to a reporter. Yeah, we should have did that first.
Yeah, I tried to do that before without much luck. They don't seem to care much about what goes on in River Forest.
Dan Hale, I think I'm friends with him. I don't know. He responds to me. But for next year, if we do it again.
One question just for the Survey Monkey recognition for excellence in sustainability. Just is this ready to go? Would you like me to put this for like the Earth Day newsletter to start soliciting ideas from residents?
Yeah, I think it is ready to go. I think I'll just have to add in for people to put the nominee's address and even potentially whoever's submitting the form's address as well. I think that's the only thing.
And then did you want me to do that through the Village Survey Monkey account, or it seems like you have your own that you created this for?
No. You, if we're able to do it through that account, then
for mine,
easier.
Yeah. No worries. Okay. I just didn't know. I'll just copy everything you got. And,
okay.
Send me the final edits and that can run next.
Are we going to have a deadline? Not. Is there a time frame for this?
I guess I didn't have a timeline in mind. I was just hoping we'd hopefully get some submissions and then kind of see which nominees spring up, and then I'm sure eventually it will kind of like lead the theme where there's only so many people.
With this one, I think it'd be a rolling basis where it would give us some things to work with. If you have final edits to me by next Monday, we can get that up next Friday for the weekend going into Earth Day.
Great.
So that one's good to go, but on the awards, can we just... Before we end up, can we just talk about what are the next steps, just so we make sure we're all on the same page?
So I've been taking notes on all of your suggestions. So I think obviously this like kind of printout I would like to have available on the website, but better format, a little bit more eye-catching, and then adding in all the links to these resources as well. And then I think that could be kind of a good first thing to do. But then also we'll be looking into if we can adapt this into SurveyMonkey somehow, so that people can go in and then click through the things that they do, and it gives them a score at the end. And then also I'll be editing some of the items to add things like shopping at thrift stores,
okay.
And then correcting the spelling error to some other things. Yeah.
So can we revisit it at next month?
Yeah.
And then
yeah. So that one I imagine we'd revisit next month, and then the other one starts soliciting ideas from residents. And if we want to do a similar one for local businesses and institutions, we can just sort of slightly reword that and run that at any point as well.
Yeah. Or if we want to do one for students.
Yeah, I think we should do one for students.
I could help pull links if you want. You want to send me your list and you can tell me which ones to do, like half or something.
Sure, yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
And question about the links. So do we want to point them to our River Forest's website and resources, or is it just a free-for-all?
So a lot of our resources, I mean, we have some text in there, you know, some of Luis's monthly news articles have been sort of repurposed into sort of permanent sub pages and things like that. So those work. And then some of them, we just try to sort of like link out, like the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District has a lot of info on rain barrels and how to install them and everything like that. So like, that's just sort of, we have like short blurbs on the website and then kick it over to them.
So the rain barrel, for example, do you want me to go directly to
I would go directly to the MWRD, okay. So they're not going through an intermediary.
Yeah. I just wasn't sure if you want to filter everybody here and then there, or is it just
like something like the heat pumps. You know, I think on our website we have like a link to, you know, here's the HVAC contract or something, and it's just a write-up explaining it. Whereas like, I don't think that's going to exist on an external website is sort of concisely. And then anything sort of like that where there isn't just a good, I guess, unbiased external resource, like, you know, whether it's, you know, the MWRD or, you know, one of these various groups that promote, you know, native gardens and things like that, if we need to develop something on the website, just let me know and we can sort of build out something from there. All right, did we want to move on to the community survey results then?
Yes.
All right. Just going to pull this up in the packet I have.
Well, what I found really interesting about, and of course, I've looked at survey results before, but now looking at it again, you know, there's more there, but just the comments kind of blew me away in some cases. Some of the misconceptions, but on a positive note, things that people wanted to know more about. I think there's a lot of good opportunities there. What I'd like to see us do is have this group host some kind of an event, maybe use one of our meetings, and invite the public in and cover some of the misconceptions. You know, I don't know exactly what format, if it would be a town hall or maybe you'd pick certain subjects or something. I mean, a way to draw people in. And after all, since they can call in, they don't necessarily have to be here, you know. But I think there's a great education opportunity here. And I'm thinking of that because now, what we just got done talking about is a lot of work, and it's well worth it. But we can't do that much work for everything. And if there's some quick hits, like just doing a little planning of, you know, maybe so-and-so can talk about this and such can talk about that, and go through and highlight the worst misconceptions. And I'm kind of hoping that on Sunday, when I get done talking, that people might And I'm going to invite them. First of all, I'm going to let them interrupt. They don't have to wait till the end. It's going to be interactive. But hey, if there's anything else on that subject, I'm hoping somebody asks me, do you, you know, does the recycling really get recycled, you know, so I can tell them about my visit to the sorting plant.
One thing that struck me, I was kind of comparing it to the results that you gave us when we had 110, so just about a third of this, is that a lot of it was very consistent, even when you had three times as many people responding, that seemed like, which makes me feel that at the very least, it's representative of the type of person who would do these surveys, you know.
And whether or not that represents the village, I don't know.
But not exactly. Well, actually, I mean, we know it doesn't, because there's certain things that we know, like, do you currently compost?
Yeah.
For, well, by the time we got there, 290 people were responding, but it said 34% use curbside composting. And we know that number is closer to 20, right, for the village. So we know that it's not representative. But at least for the people that responded to this survey, it seemed that 43% did some sort of composting, which I think is, which is great for, you know, anybody who's motivated that.
Yeah, I agree with you, Louise. I don't know about town hall, but the one that struck me was the recycling. You know, why don't you recycle? Was repeated over and over again, because it always goes in the same bucket anyhow.
Yeah.
It's not worth the effort. So that's one that if we could maybe hand it off to LSR and they can do a, you know, the fact check type of thing and get that to us, and we can put
I'll tell you what, it'd be great.
And put it out on our site, so that at least as far as within this village and LSR, here's the truth. Here's the facts.
If we could get the lady that did our presentation at LRS to come in, boy, that'd be fabulous.
Well, I mean,
we're probably not going to get a big turnout for it, but if it's something we can put on, you know, one of our publications, you know, to say, okay, here's the frequently asked questions and fact checks on recycling in River Forest, not the rest of the world, but here within River Forest, and just, you know, hand them this data, and it's all the comments is what we're talking about here, and have them, you know, put the truth statement behind it for what we do. And that's something that can be a permanent thing then on our site as well.
I think it might be good to host one though, as well as record that, because I imagine there might be questions at the end for someone at LRS who is presenting, or us. And it can even be virtual. It doesn't have to be here.
Well, these meetings are recorded, right? So
yeah,
if we did something on that order and recorded it, we could put a link to it out on the website. And then, yeah, to your point, Gary, you know, it could be out there permanently.
We didn't solicit email addresses from the survey, correct?
We did not, no.
Okay. So we can target, if we did, we could have sent some targeted marketing material to them. But
do you have email addresses for them?
I would need to check. I don't believe.
No, you have IP addresses.
We do have IP addresses, but then any sort of the data I share with you guys, even I delete those.
Yeah, that's a privacy issue. Yeah. I think you'd, I mean, if you ask somebody, hey, if you give us your email address, we'll give you more information, but you can't, even if you could figure it out, you can't, that's kind of a privacy problem.
Yeah.
And some of the people that, this is my opinion, that put those comments, they want to live in denial anyhow, but they're also talking to other people. So it's the people who are hearing that second, third hand from them that I'd really want to get to. So again, if we get the LSR and have them address something, LRS, the garbage people. I still think of Strom. I think that would be helpful for us. That's just my thought.
I agree. If we tell them, hey, this is what the perception is, how can we help change that perception? Maybe they can help suggest, you know, maybe it's another mailer. I really think stickers on the garbage can saying you commingle, but we separate, or something big and bold on the bins when they're putting it in, probably would help. something very easy and easy to understand.
Well, it could certainly be a weekly blurb, you know, in one of our blurbs to discount the wrong perceptions.
Do we have a social media account?
Yeah, Facebook, Instagram, and then I think Nextdoor is the other one that we have.
We could totally, I think this is like, since it's just a quick fact, if we could get this on the social media, because I think a lot of people would see that. I think that'd be something quick and easy for us, and then it's also quick and easy for them to see and interpret. Yeah.
So usually the weekly newsletter or some short blurb thereof, and then for the weeks the monthly newsletter runs, I just run something short but similar. That goes every Saturday there. It's, they call it a Sustainability Saturday post. So yeah, every Saturday there's something sustainability related posted on the social media pages.
Do we have, oops, sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, finish.
Have we done one on recycling before, like Sustainability Saturday?
We've shared like the what can and can't be recycled. We shared a shorter version of the trip to the LRS facility. Yeah, we'd had a few sort of more targeted things for February, promoting the Center for Hard to Recycle Materials, plastic bag drop off recycling, and then clothes and textile recycling.
I think so. We have pictures. We have proof that they do separate things, you know, maybe it's a reposting of here are the, whatever the categories, they're huge, you know, smashed piles of plastic bags. And, you know, could we repost that and say, I don't know, I can put something together too. I don't know what the calendar looks like for marketing material.
I think, yeah, we could just post the question, you know. Does this stuff really, or say something like, does this really get recycled? Guess what? Yes, it does. And then
here it is.
Here it is. And I don't know, can we embed some pictures? I'd be willing to take a crack.
I mean, not to be cynical, but it's like you have to be really lazy to not recycle when you have two bins like right outside your house. One says recycling, one's garbage, and they walk up and take it from you once a week. Like, if you're intentionally putting the recyclables into your overflowing garbage, like,
yeah,
you've got other problems.
Neighbors who brag about not recycling.
Yeah, that's true.
This might be too much to ask for them, but doing a video instead, like 30 seconds. I feel like, and them explaining and showing the chaos that goes on in the background, because I don't know if some people might not believe photos, even though that's so strange.
Well, yeah, but, you know, you can't do anything about those people. But, you know, LRS has stuff on their site. So I'm going to go out. I'll make it a point to go out and look at that and see if there's, I mean, because why recreate something that exists? And they did such a wonderful job of that survey. I imagine the information on their site might be good too. But I'll go look and see if there's some things there we might want to link to. Or put the link as the answer to the question.
I thought that, I don't know where the, there are a couple of comments, maybe not a ton, but on the electrification stuff of like, you know, we don't really know what's going to happen to the grid, which seems sort of absurd to me. Like, I think if you ask ComEd, like, hey, should we electrify stuff? They would say like, oh, yeah. Like, are you kidding me? Of course, we're going to make so much money. Like, it, I don't know where, I'm not even sure where this is coming from, but that could be another.
Yeah, but let's be realistic, okay? The grid can't support, and Commonwealth Edison isn't doing their job right now. And that's the reality of the situation. But that's not to say that we shouldn't, you know.
I mean, there's differences between like outages versus like keeping up with load. Like we pay collectively, you know, billions of dollars to utilities to.
No, I know, but the grid load is old and it's not up to, if we all did what we were supposed to with electrification, we'd have rolling brownouts. It'd be like California. They got to get their butts in gear, but that's not a reason not to do that.
I would say that's the least of our worries. Like there's a there's process in place. Well, no, there, yeah. But I mean, there's literally a board that these utilities go to. They get reimbursed for all the upgrades required for that process. Yeah. Like,
no, absolutely.
I think we want to be pushing that to be happening as best we can, but I think we're probably still a ways away from.
All I'm saying is I don't want to try and be a Pollyanna and act like there isn't an issue with the grid. That's, but we can't do anything about that. And it's not a reason not for us to push forward, because if everybody started to electrify, they'd have to do something, wouldn't they?
And they would.
In other words, we want to drive it, right? Yeah, exactly. Because look at all the money they could make after, you know, off of all the electricity we're using.
Yeah. And the comment on just the comments at the end are really interesting. I kind of want those 89 people to just kind of get in a room and hash things out. Like, let's prioritize, because it's like 89 comments and like 80 different topics, like all very interesting.
Well, there's a certain kind of person that wants to fill out a survey because they want to be contrary. And I think there were a few of those in there. But I don't think it was the majority.
Seth, I don't know if you saw this one, but number 16 under recycling says, I've requested a composting bin 3 times through the website and never hear back.
I think I know exactly what resident that is, and she's just using the website wrong.
Oh, she is.
Yes.
Is there a way to reach out?
There is. She's a frequent flyer in my email box. if it's one of the various, so like we have all of the like waste and recycling in the new service portal on the website. And like when you sign up, it's like, please leave your name. Like, please do not submit this anonymously or we won't be able to follow up with you. And so like, I will get those still on occasion, even though we have that sort of in print right underneath the question. And I'm just like, well, I can't like, you know, deliver somebody a, you know, additional recycling container and charge them another $35 if I don't know it's actually them. Yeah. Or yeah, sign them up for the compost program and just add a bill to their month. And it's the same thing if you order wood chips through the website to get delivered to you. It's like, you know, unless we can call you and confirm like, hey, we're coming, we're going to drop this off, it's just not going to happen. I mean, if somebody submits a pothole complaint anonymously, yeah, we'll go out and we'll find it and fix it. But
I think question 2, does switching from gas to electric really make a significant difference? I've definitely heard that one a lot. I don't know about you guys. I always hear that, like whenever I'm talking to people in the village, I feel like that's a common question. Like, because they're like, well, when you think about it, they're still burning the gas somewhere, so like they gotta make the electricity somehow. So I feel like that's something we could clear up, because I do hear a lot of people saying that.
Well, then what you should do is quote them the statistics on what percentage of electricity in Illinois is produced is dirty electricity, which is fairly small. It's about 22-24%. And the rest is either nuclear, which is 40%, about 40, or, you know, clean stuff. No, the electricity isn't 100% clean and no one's saying it is, but it's still better because gas is 100% fossil.
Also, massive plants, even if they're fossil fuel burning plants, are running much more efficiently than a small combustion engine in a car or a lawnmower.
Absolutely. Yes.
Leaf blower.
That's a good point, too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, most electricity people are getting is, at this point, nuclear or wind in all likelihood. They will get a significant amount of natural gas during peak usage times, just because those are the ones that can come online quickest and then turn off quickest.
Yeah, but basically, significantly more than half of their power is generated through clean methods.
One of the comments I saw, and I think another comment kind of like hinted at it, was saying like, I live in an old home and like, how do I go about, updating all the things in my home to be more energy efficient? So I kind of know we have a lot of links on our website related to specific things, energy consuming appliances in your home and upgrading them to be more energy efficient. But I was wondering if we had something on our website specifically about like just a general like energy assessment and how people could go about like.
I think we have just maybe short blurbs referring them to like the ComEd free energy assessments, but in terms of more sort of.
Which now is mostly online. They've changed it. They used to come into all homes and now it's there's an income threshold.
But no, I know in terms of like weatherization information for homes, we probably don't have much, and that could be something. I think that was even something. It was a pretty significant part of the climate plans was to sort of provide more information and resources regarding sort of weatherization and like sort of energy efficient making, particularly historic homes, more energy efficient. So,
and one of those ways I had a busy weekend, but fun, was Oak Park Climate Action Network, which has kind of expanded into Riverforce. There's two people on it, so if you guys want to come. But I feel like we did a clean energy open house in March and April, and they were both successful. And I feel like if we can find, or maybe this is something more for OPCAN to do, but if we can find residents that are at different stages, because almost all the homes in Riverforce are similar ages, then that might open people's minds up a little bit.
Well, and why don't we look to, and I'll do some research, putting some of our weekly spots out for specifically around, I've got this house that's, maybe it's got leaky windows or whatever. We could talk about weather stripping perhaps that, and maybe hit the low hanging fruit that's inexpensive. Because, for example, heat pumps aren't real good if you've got a big drafty house. And I've talked to my contractor about that. And in fact, he came and talked at our green condo group and some people specifically asked about that question, So there's situations where that's not the solution, but weather stripping can make a big difference. It's cheap. You can do it yourself, or it doesn't cost much to have a handyman do it. So maybe there's a list of things like that for people that live in, houses where they don't know where to start. Maybe we can give them some simple things they could start with. Because if you feel like it's overwhelming, you'll do nothing. There has to be like a low threshold, an entry point. And I think if we could point out some of those, the low entry points, maybe we can get some of those people on board.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that was kind of my thought with like looking at people who have old homes in Riverforest, because I'm like, if I was in a really old home, like I might just be like, wow, this is just like too much to update and change. So like, why even do anything? But if, like you said, we can provide some resources towards the low hanging fruit, things that are easily changeable, relatively, then that would be a great like starting spot or just to point them to that direction.
Yeah, I'm pretty certain if you go out to the NICOR site, their website, or ComEd, you'll find that they each have those types of things out there for basic energy efficiency improvement, simple things that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
I'll check that out.
So again, what are the action items from this?
Well, I'll do some research on some things that we can put together in some weekly spots.
Okay.
For the low-hanging fruit project, if you will.
Yeah, it seems like the general consensus is just to, again, develop these sort of communications and sort of resource-focused things to dispel a lot of the misconceptions, and then continue to sort of promote what's available. And yeah, again, I think the starting with the easy things of just putting out sort of one piece of information at a time of you can do this. And then it's sort of as we build that out, we can have sort of like more permanently developed sort of comprehensive things on the website as well.
Well, one of the things I'm going to cover on Sunday is talking about the source of our electricity. And I've got the chart with the percentages of, you know, how we produce the electricity. So we'll take care of that one for whoever shows up.
Seth, there was quite a few comments on the EV side that dealt with the cost, the complexity to actually put a charger in your house. Is there someone in, I don't know which department it would be, that could put something together to somewhat lay out the various options that people have for that? Because I saw a study not that long ago that really said that for most people, just basically charging it, you know, their, you know, normal 110 or maybe a 220 is good enough for the most part. Then they stop and do the big top off at one of the, you know, pay, you know, level two, level threes when they need it type of thing. But for the average person, in fact, the article had to do, I think it was really pointing to all these multi-resident places, how are they going to deal with it? And that is a very legitimate way for most of the driving patterns of most people. If you're going to go out of town, you're low or whatever, you go up and you fill up just like you would a gas station. So somebody from, because I think it should be tied kind of to our approval. So it really says you don't have to really do much, you know, to get that done.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yep. And so we've got, we sort of, as part of the EV readiness thing, it's our building department that handles that, sort of revamped the electrical application to make an EV specific application. Most people have like the level one chargers. I mean, sometimes they even come with it. You can get it for, you know, $200-$250 off of Amazon, and it plugs into, I know Jeff, you've mentioned this before. What's the, like a fairly standard, it's like a slightly upgraded outlet that you can.
Yeah. Like you can get the, oh, sorry.
Yeah, like the 220. It's like a HEMA 1450 or something outlet. It's like a dryer outlet, yeah. Basically. Yeah, that most homes would, if they have a electric stove or electric dryer, it's like the standard 220 outlet.
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of those, you know, people may already have in their garage. You can see from the quarterly EV thing, we only had one EV-specific permit come in during the first 3 months of this year. But what we do get and what that might be is people wanting to install sort of the lower level, lower voltage ampage level two chargers in their garage, which is, you know, like an $8,000 investment, but people are willing to sort of make that, and it gets wired, and that has its own sort of specific review process. Whereas the other one, it's just like you're getting a standard electrical permit to install an outlet. So.
Yeah, and reading through it, that's what I think people are pointing at versus and using that as kind of their rationale for why they wouldn't want to do it.
Yeah.
But the reality is they probably don't need that.
Yeah.
They can use the loaner out back here or wherever else you're putting them in.
Well, the my brother's got a portable set of cables. One is, you know, it's a set, and one's 110, one's 20. It's in the trunk of his car. So as long as there's either a 110 or a 220 outlet somewhere, he could charge. You know, he was joking about going to a motel with a long extension cord. You know, the kind of motels where you park right by your unit and just plugging it in the room and stretching and stretching it out to the car. So,
but that would be good to put into like a little news article. Here are your options when you do that, and you don't have to come to the village for most of it, right?
Yeah, and I get, you know, the occasional call. I got, you know, a call from a guy probably 4 or 5 months ago at this point who had bought a plug-in hybrid and was just like, I've never dealt with, like, charging before, and I know, like, this one that I plug in my garage takes a while, but there's, I know, a faster one at the Village Hall, and was like, I was explaining it all to him. He's like, oh my God, that's great. That's amazing. Like, it was just like the greatest news he'd ever. He's like, and I can charge for 2 hours for free. Like, so, I mean, like, as people reach out, I try to refer them to resources or with what limited information and knowledge I have, share what's available to them.
You can lay out the options for them. It's not, it's
complicated as people think.
Yeah.
Like a do you know type of article.
By the way, I did get a question from one of the people in my building wanting to know if the village was going to be putting more charging stations in. Could you tell me where the locations are so I can tell him?
Yes. It's like whatever Franklin Avenue, the village owned like 3-hour parking lot right over there is going to have 4 fast chargers.
Where is that?
Franklin Avenue. It's like 417 or something is the address. It's the village owned lot. It's 3-hour parking. The middle of that block, just one block east of here.
Okay.
So behind the Byline Bank.
Yeah. Or this way of it. It's sort of like if you were to walk through this empty lot right here, and jump over that fence.
And was there one? Where's the one that's up north? It's near the CVS.
Near the CVS. So just east of the CVS is a village-owned lot.
Okay.
It looks like it's part of the CVS parking lot. Just in terms of the update I got last week from them, that one is probably a little bit behind the rest in terms of design, just for figuring out where ComEd is going to drop.
Well, I told them that, you know, it was still in the planning stages. It'd be a while, but
yeah. So the other ones, at least like the purchases and like the construction cost stuff should be going to the board for approval. Not next meeting, but hopefully the following meeting at the very end of the month.
Well, I just told them by the end of the year, probably.
Yeah. I'm hoping summer, some point. And then the third one will be, at the Metro lot east of Thatcher, or no, west of Thatcher. Sorry, west of Thatcher.
Okay.
But across the street, the less used one. And that will get 5 dual port level 2 chargers.
Ooh, okay.
So, that's the west Metro parking lot. Yeah. The one with the permeable pavers.
What level are the other?
The other ones are fast chargers. The other ones will have 4 fast chargers at each one.
Okay.
There is not no. So yeah, that we were looking really to be with what the village has at the south end. It would be people pulling into the public works lot, which with all the heavier stuff coming and going there, that would be. We're, as part of this project, also getting design done for future installation there, but that's more focused on eventual fleet electrification. But yeah, I guess I can just sort of transition into this update. Getting the, you know, sort of load requests are into ComEd, the sort of reservations for the rebates through ComEd once they're all done are also in. The grant is fully executed with the state. So I'll have my first of the regular reports for them coming up, not this month, but next month to submit. And then, everything is moving forward there. It's all going to be charge point like we use here at Village Hall, which is good because we can use one system to sort of set pricing everywhere. As we get closer to that, that'll obviously be coming to this commission to discuss. I've been sort of just looking and taking notes on things like that. And then not directly related to that, but I think the village, the police department should be getting their electric vehicle within the next week. So, I was initially thinking it would be further out, but sounds like they've whoever they ordered it through, has it and is ready to, they're ready to pick it up. So, that's exciting news on that front. Did include the EV metrics. I realized after I was deleting everything and then plugging in the new numbers that I probably should have kept some of at least the fourth quarter of last year for reference, because I think electric and hybrid vehicle ownership did jump up a bunch.
I did check that. So I look at year over year, and hybrid increased by 25% and EV increased by 33%.
Yeah.
So what percentage of vehicles, the total vehicles, are EV and what hybrid are? Because I don't think I saw that in the reports? Do we?
I don't have that number yet. I should start.
So let's see. I have a number.
Because I'm trying to use that number to cajole some people, and they go, "Oh, there's not that much going on."
I thought I did. Yeah, I'm looking for that. In 2023, 6,332 passenger cars. So if you want to use that number, probably it's a little outdated, but it's probably similar.
Well, but yeah, it just gives me a rough idea.
Yep.
I'm trying to explain to some people that people are actually buying them and that River Forest's percentage is higher than the national average by, you know, noticeable amount.
How many residents are in River Forest? Not population, but like homes.
It's just under. Let's see, I have like the waste one somewhere.
I think bigger. So if you look at hybrids and EVs, we're at 16.5%, which is not bad. Okay. Yeah.
So on the village waste hauling plan, there's $2,875, but that's only counting two and three flats as one building. And then I don't know multifamily beyond larger than three.
I think it's a little bit over 3,000.
Yeah, there aren't that many multi-family buildings, I don't think. I mean, it's a handful, really.
But I mean, if it were equally distributed, it would be one of every three households roughly in the village has either a hybrid or an electric vehicle. Mm-hmm. Again, very desk and math there. The charging sessions, and I really should have kept the comparison to last year's, the first quarter of last year with these, is it's just exponentially higher than before it was charging. And then the number of users is consistently up as well. So more people are getting access to the charger, and there's more total charging sessions with it just not being blocked at all times. Yeah. So,
and with the number of owners going up as well. So,
yes.
So it seems like we did it at the right time.
Yeah, I think so. You know, one angry resident or one angry couple, but that was.
Do they continue to be angry or?
They probably reached out three total times to the village. So, but yeah,
because it was in use. What was the?
Because they were being charged for it.
Only if they leave it there after 2 hours.
Yes, they thought that, I think one of the exact words was, "Well, if I park it there at 7 o'clock and leave it there until 2 a.m., that's not blocking anyone else from them. Like the village is open until at 7 p.m. for meetings. Like people could be trying to access it."
To me, that seems like unrealistic expectations.
Yeah, it was.
And, you know, good luck if they can find another free charger somewhere. But
I don't really think
it's not the norm anymore.
I don't really think they're going to go move their car at, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning.
But I think it was, shouldn't have to walk back at 2 a.m. because it's not harming anyone. And it's like, there's no.
Well, he'd only have to walk at 2 a.m. if he left it at 12 p.m.
Leave it at
7, pick it up at 9, you know.
It was a lot of, I am generally very polite when I'm talking to residents on the phone. And, you know, was very polite to this gentleman when I first started speaking. And then when he started contradicting himself, I really. No, I just pointed out the established facts of the conversation we were having. And No, so yeah, I think that's been a sort of effective success. Yeah, the only other hiccup, and it was sort of rectified after one instance, was a couple of our firefighters have EVs, and one of them was charging his, and they were out on a call when he hit the 2-hour mark. He yep. was back minutes later and unplugged it, but we were able to sort of work that out where they're where they are able to charge and to like get just sort of a very small ding if they go over, but they're still getting the sort of same push notifications of it's 2 hours, and they've already sort of had their own internal policy of only one of them is charging at any given time if they're the two of them are working the same shift. So that's all worked out pretty well, and then the project is moving forward. Should have some significant updates next month for that one. Compost drop-off locations. So we've got the carts delivered to both locations. So there will be, for starters, one compost cart and then one garbage cart. You know, one of the big things, and this was a concern specifically brought up when there was a waste can towards the front of Public Works, is somebody will just drop by and toss their dog waste in it. So we'll getting the signs that we've had printed up later this we've had them printed, they'll be sort of affixed onto the buildings later this week, and then once we get pictures, that'll I'm planning to run that as part of International Compost Awareness Month the first week of May, so that might be a more lengthy write-up for the monthly newsletter next month.
So they won't be picking up from there until May?
I mean, it's on the list now, because they service the village websites when they need to. So if there is stuff getting put in there, I'm going to try and get a quick sort of blurb out before then, but that'll be sort of the more comprehensive one about the composting program, the 3-cart options, the compost sharing, and then sort of fully explaining the new satellite compost drop-off locations.
So I guess when will pickup begin there? Not the advertising, but the actual pickup.
Pickup should start next Tuesday.
I'll drop it off.
I was going to follow up with that when I'm back in the office later this week, and that should be good to go. EcoShip, we have the collection going upstairs with the packaging materials. I mentioned before this, I've been out of training today and then tomorrow. So I've came into my office this evening and saw one full bag already collected. So we had, for our participation, had one signed up for the sort of standard 5-bag one. So we're 25% towards our sort of target goal of amount of materials collected. And that's with somebody dumpster diving and deciding to reuse some of the materials themselves instead.
Are you talking about me?
Yes.
Yeah, I work at a migrant ministry and shoes are in like tennis shoes are in such high demand. I was dropping off stuff upstairs. I was like, wait a second, they would really like this stuff.
It's being reused, and it's being reused for a good purpose. So I think that's that's going along and going to success.
I just want to share potential snafu, but it wasn't a snafu in the end, which was a trustee asked us about what was being picked up. And so I went on the website and looked and was verifying something, and they said, oh, this is different than what was sent out. So if anybody gets any questions about this, this is a special Earth Month event. Yep. And so they're picking up more things, a wider range of things than they normally would at a site. So it was good to get that clarified.
Feel like the village, there's so many things. We should have like a scavenger hunt or something with like the bins and there's the EV charging state, like in the summer or something. There's so many new things that are up and about, like coming up. This is really, It's really, really fantastic. So good job.
One other thing that had come up, this was something initially promoted through one of the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus Environmental Committee meetings, is a sort of online tool widget thing called Recycle Coach. It's free through the IEPA. Another potential option for sort of educating residents on what can be recycled, what their recycling schedule is, all of those things. I've been uploading all the various information for the village to that. And then I've gotten, I think we're most of the way there, but I, when I hear back from them, we should have like a sort of embedded widget that does go onto our website, and then it links fully to their site as well. But they can, residents can easily search for resources on electronics drop-off locations, when the next electronic waste pickup is, same thing for hazardous waste, even incorporate, you know, the holiday greens, Christmas tree pickup in the winter and things like that onto it. So I think I've got everything from my end. They just told me that they'd be in touch when they're ready. And I like sort of signed up and finished off like the account registration for the village. So that should be up soon. And then once that's up, that'll be shared via the newsletter and social media as well. And hopefully another resource that we can tie in with all the education materials. Two other things. This one is not on the agenda here, just because I just got an update after sending this out. So I've been discussing with MC Squared about sending out another round of postcards for community solar sign up. So they would do that entirely themselves, so no cost to the village. Would go out to, I asked them to, you know, remove the residents who've already been signed up into the program. But everyone else, it would go out to encouraging them to sign up. And then we do have some information up on the website. I'm going to try and get sort of more easy to digest information up there. When that does go out, I think we're looking at early June, potentially, when that would go out. I should have a firmer timeline in the next few weeks. But yeah, the sign up and the sort of enrollment has been pretty stagnant for a few months now. And I had touched base with them inquiring about this. And then, yeah, they were very willing and excited to sort of do another marketing blitz for that to promote some sign up there. And then one thing, we did sign up the village for the Mayor's Monarch Pledge. This is
Before you go there, Seth, can we put something out from the village on that as well? It's one thing to get these flyers from a company.
Yep. Yeah. No, that that's what I've been sort of in touching base with them about, is to sort of make sure we're coordinating communication with that, of letting residents know we'll have something in the newsletter, of you'll be receiving this.
Good.
Thank things you. Like that. So, and residents should have received, for the, there was mailings about the aggregation program, just the sort of standard enrollment stuff. But I think it was a relatively smaller sort of shift this time through in terms of enrollments, because I haven't received any calls about it. We did put information out on the website for that as well. So, yeah, but yeah, that will be going out, and then would be promoting all the information available on the program on the village website as well. And then, yeah, we've signed up for the Mayor's Monarch Pledge. This is through the National Wildlife Foundation. It's an annual thing, really, like sort of, there's sort of these three tiers of, just like any other sort of national awards program. There's no fee to join. You just have to commit to doing at least three things to meet the bottom tier. So one is, one of the things I'd sort of, we'd sort of pledge to, was just communications through newsletters and the website on resources for helping with, you know, monarch friendly gardens and things like that. So that was something I was planning to bring to you all next week, similar to the tree guide, to just be a sort of permanent link on the website. There was some sort of proclamation incorporating monarchs, and I believe it's the second week in June is National Pollinator Week. So I was just going to have a draft proclamation for that, again, for you all to view next month, so we can have that, well, going to the board before the actual week hits. And then the third is some sort of demonstration garden. The one I had done is within public right-of-ways. We are working, just received proposal from a landscape contractor to do a complete sort of clean out of and new maintenance program for the Chicago Avenue bioswales. So the last contractor we had used, you can see they weren't really cleaning out leaves and things like that. So some of the drainage is not as designed as it was intended to be and as it could best serve. So I think with this cleanup, should have a sort of rejuvenated bioswale corridor there, with some native planting, and that can serve as sort of the demonstration provision of the pledge. And then if you guys want to take a look, if there's any additional things on this, I think I had shared it as part of the packet last month, that jump out sort of, if you get 8 things, then you're in the sort of the leader level or whatever the second level is called. And then it's, I think you have to get like 24 of the 30 things to be like the champion level, the third level. So, but yeah, that's one thing we'll be working on. I'll have some more information for you guys next month.
I just wanted to share that there is some good news on monarch butterflies, which is the eastern monarch butterflies, up something like between 40 and 45%, which since we hear so much bad news, but I think the western is still in very bad shape, but it seems like all of these efforts are making a difference, and there has been a resurgence.
Something else related to monarchs that could be of interest to the village is there's this organization called Monarch Watch, and they have a whole map and website where you can designate way stations across the country, which are designated and protected spaces that have, you know, milkweed and native plants for monarchs. And so I was wondering if the village had any interest in that, and if there's spaces.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah. Once we get everything up, is it just, I have actually seen that, because I know you said Triton has some, and then actually I think it's Memorial Park through the Park District is one of the designated locations. And then if you look up River Forest on the list, like there's been a bunch of residents who've sort of designated their yard as way stations as well.
Nice. So, yeah.
But I think that'd be another helpful tool to add to this.
Okay, great.
Does anybody else have any other business? That's, I believe, all I've got in terms of staff updates.
Actually, I might have missed an update, but is there anything going on with the village board and the leaf blower ordinance? Or?
I have not heard yet. So, this commission voted on the recommendation. I've gotten some questions from trustees on the topic. It's sort of been in limbo. They also haven't taken up the tree recommendation yet. I'm not anticipating any issues with that one. The tricky thing with this time of the year is it's just budget season. So there's a lot of other items that just sort of have to get done at the board level, before the end of April. So I'm unsure if it will be, for that second meeting in April, or I know it's not going to be next week, but for that second meeting in April or some point in May. But then the matter of village administrators also just sort of wanted a sort of general update on all of the different climate plan things from the UIC report that came out last year. Again, these are two things tied directly to that. And then, a lot of the communication stuff as well, the community survey, these were all stemming directly from that as well. So,
okay.
Quickly before we wrap up as well, I just wanted to mention some stuff I'm working on. At Triton, we have some events coming up later this month for Earth Week. And one of the events is going to have David Hoyt, a local River Forest homeowner, coming and sharing his story of turning a lot of his yard into a native garden and planting native plants there. So I have some flyers here if anyone's interested. I just thought I'd mention it. There will be a few different events going on for Earth Week. And then we're also going to be a site for the One Earth Film Festival as well.
Do we need to sign up?
There's like a link for tickets if the One Earth Film Festival.
Oh yeah, so. For that. But for the David Hoyt.
Oh yeah. No, that one's just like a come Okay. Come as you please. They're all open to anybody in the surrounding community.
I was going to say, just could you send me like a link and just a quick blurb and I can add it to the green events calendar on the sustainability page?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks.
What's the name of the film?
The name of the film that we're screening is called Slay, and it is a documentary focusing on sustainability in the fashion world. So it leans heavily into animal cruelty as it relates to the fashion industry, and then also kind of fast fashion as well, and how trends, you know, tend to be very wasteful and on to the next thing, and just how much stuff we really burn through.
I don't know if anybody else saw this because it was in the slew of information on Taros, but they have closed up the loophole that Temu and Shein were coming in under. Mm. So that's something good is happening.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should definitely come, but I teared up when I watched the preview. So bring your tissues. Thank you.
All right. Should we wrap this up?
Yep.
Yeah, motion to adjourn.
Is May 13th. So this is the once every few months that it's 5 weeks instead of 4 weeks till our next meeting. But yes, I have a motion from Co-Chair Charette.
Second.
Second from Commissioner Avalos. Co-Chair Charette.
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon.
Yes.
Commissioner Vizi.
Yes.
Commissioner Haley.
Yes.
Commissioner Mazzatesta.
Yes.
Commissioner Cadlec.
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos.
Yes.
We are adjourned at 8:34.